Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Right there. That's the moment you start the show. God damn it. We're back again.
Chappelle cast. Woo-hoo-hoo. Let's start the cast.
Oh, yeah. We need to make that song.
I didn't even really know we were going to have a podcast.
No one did, evidently, except for Ariel.
I thought it was Friday night, and then I think I accidentally drunk dialed everybody.
I did see that you tried to have a podcast.
Yeah. I don't even know quite how I did that, but there you go.
Oh, that wasn't even intentional?
No, hell no. That was me checking to see when the podcast was, and then realizing I'm using the entirely wrong app to do so, and then realizing that there's another app hidden in the back of my phone that's like an entire conversation with all of you people, and me having missed all of it.
Well, we have all four of us here for God knows how long.
Yeah, this is amazing.
Google and Thunderstorm is permitting, so let's just open it up. Because when we have a full complement, we just go for hours.
Yeah, that's
good point.
Yeah. America, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury podcast number 56? Yes.
Yeah. Holy 56. Balls.
Yeah. Wow.
You peak at 56, you know.
I did not know that.
I'm just throwing that out there. All right, so I'm going to start this off by asking if anybody else has seen the trailer for The Darkness yet.
Keyshawn Xavier from Austin, Texas speaking. Go right ahead.
Have any of you seen the trailer for The Darkness yet?
For The Darkness? No.
Darkness!
Exactly.
like the comic
That's
book?
That's my entire point. I sit there and I watch it a minute and a half of a trailer. I don't remember any of it because I'm just sitting there going, Darkness! Black magic! Evil!
Wait, is this like The Darkness, like from the comics, or what is this?
No, I don't know. I've seen the trailer three times, but all I do is I sit there and giggle about Chappelle and Rick James and Darkness.
Wait, so you have seen the trailer?
I've seen it three times, but if you
And it imparted no information to you?
None. That's my
No,
trailer.
It imparted information. He wasn't ready to receive it. He received the title and then blocked out the rest for the length of the trailer three times.
I didn't block it out. I wasn't actively trying to block it out.
Follow-up question. Is the trailer just darkness?
I don't know. There's things that happen in it, but I swear to God, I've looked at it three times, and I just sit there and I think about darkness. And at the end of it, I don't know anything more than I did when I started it.
It's a fugue state, really, is what he gets into.
Yes.
I had to cut my mic. I was laughing so hard. I watched the trailer three times, but I know nothing about it.
Yeah, is that the fault of the makers of the film? I would argue that if you made your film Darkness, you might as well just, you know, ruin it.
You're eliminating the attention span of Keyshawn's everywhere. That you just know this. It's a danger. There's a book that tells you what the pitfalls of filmmaking are, and on page 72 it says, if you name your film Darkness. I mean, it's like right at the bottom.
Riyadh, he peaks at page 56. He said that already.
That's right.
God damn it.
He's already out by 72.
It better be a treatment.
So question, what is this about for real? I mean,
I'm serious. My entire
the podcast or the film?
Feel free to answer as you like.
My message to you was one of that I've seen a trailer three times and all I think about is Rick James and Darkness. And I was just
Kevin Bacon in this trailer.
Is he?
Well, no, I'm asking you.
Yeah, it stars Kevin Bacon, so yes.
What
Yes, the movie stars Kevin Bacon.
What part of I Got Nothing from that trailer did you not understand?
A family returns from a Grand Canyon vacation, haunted by an ancient supernatural entity they unknowingly awakened, and engages them in a fight for their survival.
Charlie Murphy is in a supernatural enemy.
That sentence is a failure. That sentence is ungrammatical as fuck. For
the supernatural enemy to be Charlie Murphy. That would be so awesome.
Well,
I have no words. I got nothing.
Why hasn't Charlie Murphy made more movies?
I have a feeling that Charlie Murphy is not the ancient supernatural entity in this movie.
Look, he should be in some kind of kung fu fighting movie. It would be. I would go.
Well, any reasonable person would go, but you know.
Right.
So, well, here. Answer to Charlie Murphy in more films is martial arts in your estimation?
Yes. That was just it. He had all that training with those kids. Might as well take advantage of it.
Well, Ariel, you're the expert. What do you think about the Charlie Murphy as a kung fu warrior plan here?
Well, I just pulled up his IMDb page quickly here, and he is in Black Dynamite, the TV series, so there's martial arts there.
Yep.
And he's also he does a voice of Belly Bomb in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the TV series. From this year.
Wait. Black Dynamite, wasn't that a cartoon? Or was there actually a live-action version?
Oh, you're right. There's a live-action movie that the cartoon is based on. And yes,
the live-action movie was like middle of the 2000s, right? It kind of flopped.
So he's in the cartoon. So it's not him himself doing the...
Does he play Black Jesus?
He plays Black Jaws or Finger Licking... No, that's the name of the episode. Sorry. Let's see who he plays. I can't believe we're doing this as content.
Hashtag content.
He's not credited as a particular character. He's just voice. That's it. So I guess he lends itself to several characters.
No. See, this is a public service. This trailer was so bad that after three times, no one knew what it was about. This is necessary.
It led us to Black Dynamite, the animated series. I think that's pretty good. I mean, this went to a good place. That's all I'm saying. Now, of course, Tommy Davidson's in it.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, you're kidding me. From In Living Color? He was the only one that wasn't funny on In Living Color.
Oh, wow.
You're picking one guy with that moniker?
Hey, the rest of those guys were comedic geniuses. Tommy Davidson, he was like the everyman. They had to have some gristle. Jimmy Walker is in this show.
We're talking about Black Dynamite here. We're not talking about the movie The Darkness anymore, right? Can we just
that movie? Man.
Okay, that movie's just gone. Okay, we're on to the next topic, which is Black Dynamite, the television show. Great, good.
Really confused. Belichick impression, Wavi?
No.
We're on to Black Dynamite.
What? Yeah, that's
sorry,
right.
I was mistaken.
We're on to next show. We're on to next show. Next show. I retweeted this, and this is the Belichick thing got me here. The fake ESPN tweet that probably made at least one of the people on this podcast cry.
Oh yeah.
Tony Romo now has more broken backs than playoff wins.
That sounds correct.
True. That's fake?
No, tweeted by fake.
That's a true statement, though.
It's a true fact. It's just not, ESPN did not tweet that out. Fake ESPN tweeted it out.
I'm about to say ESPN wouldn't be good enough to do that.
No.
Yeah, it's true. Okay, let me moderate it this way. Wavi, Keyshawn, you guys have both been gone for a while. Anything you want to chime in on from the last couple episodes?
No, I have something I want to talk about, but it's
cool.
Those were really good episodes.
Well, thank you.
What were they about?
Yeah, I realized I kind of set myself up for failure there. I'm like, I'm assuming they've watched them or listened to them, rather.
I listened to the second last one, but not the last one.
But the only thing sadder is I had to re-listen to the last one just to remind myself what the hell we talked about.
What did you talk about?
We mostly Comic-Con.
Okay.
And yeah. we hit some Netflix stuff. And
Go ahead.
And
I was
going to
say,
Have you all
seen Star Trek Beyond? I mean, I'm like way out of the loop on shit, but.
Yep.
I saw Star Trek. I have not seen Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that one did not get such.
Everyone told me not to, so that was pretty easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also have not seen that for the same reason.
I would have been more surprised if actually the buzz had been positive after the first week, honestly.
It sounds like it crashed when the trailer did so good that they tried to force the guys that made the trailer to work with the director.
There were a few stories on this. There was a story that they brought in an external bunch of people to recut it. There was a story that I mean, it's just the whole thing just sounds like, I don't know. DC is just
that movie was in trouble the second Batman versus Superman tanked, relatively speaking, because they immediately went back and tried to fix this one on the fly.
Yeah, they panicked, right? Like I mean, it seems at this point like what they really need to do is get rid of Zack Snyder because, he's made
Mr. More Speaker, bad, I second the nomination.
He's made more bad movies than good movies at this point. Like, we can't keep giving him the benefit of the doubt.
He has more broken backs than playoff victories, in other words.
Yes.
He's a Tony Romo of superhero.
Yes.
Oh,
it's time to go get Matt Cassel to make the next DC movie.
Now, I got to say.
Who is Dak Prescott in this
this
allegory?
Yeah. I think the failure goes beyond Snyder.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But
at all levels. I was at Target today looking at backpacks for my children, and I saw great-looking Civil War backpacks. I saw a Minions backpack that had a fuzzy Minion on the back of it with arms. I saw a BB-8 backpack. Literally, it was a spear with BB-8's head and as a backpack. It was awesome. And then I saw the Batman versus Superman backpack. All it was the logo, the Bat logo and the Super logo. No pictures, no nothing. It was a black backpack with just the logo on it. And I nearly took a picture of it and just said, which one of these doesn't belong? They're failing at backpacks.
I can tell you what the problem there is, though.
They're failing at backpacks.
Why they're failing at backpacks? You can't – that film is so violent and gruesome, you literally can't put a scene from it on a child's clothing.
This is a problem, right? Like, they're not aiming at – they're not actually like aiming at the right segment somehow, right? Like the Avengers had stuff for adults, but like you could safely take not young children, but children to that movie, right? Like the DC, like they're trying to be too gritty or something. It's not clear to me what. And this is terrible because I'm
Ryan's like gritty.
I'm usually on the other side of this. I'm like, well, give me something that's less cartoony. But in their case, they're entirely failing. It's like I when I said give me something less cartoony, I didn't mean let's like resurrect 1997 goth. Like that's not my right. So
they made the Flash funny.
Well, that's fair
in the trailer, but I'm saying that's a pathetic attempt to try and bring some lightness to what is otherwise a bleak landscape.
I'm sorry, to try and bring some lightness to the darkness.
No!
Oh, good pull. Right back.
Oh.
That trailer that everyone seemed to like, I, as I told Ariel in the last episode, I wasn't in on it. It felt like a feeble Joss Whedon impression.
Hmm.
And I was like, no. You got us once with Suicide Squad by putting one thing in the trailer and then going a different way in the fucking movie. You're not getting me twice.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like, and this is speaking from a very confident position of extreme ignorance, is as I do, that
make the podcast great again, Wobby, I'm all in.
That Suicide Squad suffered possibly from some of the same issues that Sucker Punch did, like the trailer wrote a check that the movie couldn't cash, kind of thing. Because if you go back and watch the Sucker Punch trailer. Like, maybe I'm an idiot, but that trailer looks like it's advertising an awesome movie. And then
you were not alone. It was one of the darlings at Comic-Con that year.
Right, and then the movie just, like, flopped. People did not – just didn't love it. in the same way that they loved the trailer for it. And the same thing seems to have happened with Suicide Squad. So I don't know. Maybe there's a related failure going on here.
Yeah. The only person who has seen the movie, Suicide Squad.
And Sucker Punch?
In this group. I have not seen Sucker Punch, but...
Well, shit.
I can say that you're right in that the trailer for Suicide Squad portrayed a particular tone that the movie just didn't have. The movie was a lot darker, and you can tell when they tried to re-edit it to make it less dark, you know, but they just couldn't get away from the fact that, yeah, it's got these characters in it, but really it's like a war film, if anything. And the scariest person in the movie, believe it or not, is not the Joker or Harley or any of these people. It's Amanda Waller by a long stride.
That's exactly
right. It should be.
Yeah, but they kind of build it around that instead of, you know, the colorful kind of characters that should be that the trailer makes you think this story's going to be about. It's just kind of overall a lot darker than what you would expect. And it just a lot of wasted potential, if you ask me.
I also heard that maybe you can confirm or deny that this you had the same impression. I heard that, like, the plot of the movie was not good enough to be a primary thing. It should have just kind of been an excuse to show us these characters and then have fun with them. But instead, they somehow, like, managed to follow the MacGuffin too much. And so it's just like, well, guess we got to go close this fucking portal. And then, like, you don't care about that because who fucking cares about closing another portal?
Yeah, they do and they don't. It's like they I think they realize that exactly what you said, that it doesn't really matter what the hell the portal or whatever it is supposed to be. And so they recut the movie. So like the first 30 minutes has nothing to do. They don't set up the villain at all in the first 30 minutes. They're just busy introducing all the different villains. And they have a couple of Justice Leaguers in there to boot to kind of as part of the introductions. And then they realize, oh, yeah, we better get this thing started, right? So then they kind of start it. But again, they pay more attention to the heroes of the story more than what's setting everything up. But then at the end, they have to dive deep because the movie was originally filmed to have this kind of ultimate conflict and conclusion. And so it's just like, what did they do?
Yeah, fair. What did we do?
This was a film built on its cast and not its story.
And the cast is good. I think
it's
all
a phenomenal cast.
Did the best they could with the script that they had.
I think they may have gone Are any of you guys familiar with the old YouTube series Ask a Ninja?
Oh yeah, well sure.
Yeah.
Well, I got 2 out of 3. So I'm running with this analogy.
Yeah, I have no idea.
It was the Pirates 2 review of Ask a Ninja is
yes.
Maybe what you're getting to.
Yes. Where it was a brutal assessment of the Pirates of the Caribbean second film, and where he described the script as okay, there is no script. They took a bunch of scripts, loaded it into a shotgun, pulled the trigger, and then someone, maybe an intern, like picked up the pieces. And then halfway through the film, they lost that thing.
Yeah.
And Suicide Squad, I think, may have been assembled in a very similar manner.
Maybe. I think just story-wise, they tried to do something with the materials that were filmed that wasn't the original intention.
Yeah.
But, you know, even Will Smith did a really good job as Deadshot. You know, it'd be cool to see him again, but in a different movie with a different plot.
I heard that what's her name as Harley was a standout as well.
Yeah, she was great too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You want to see more Will Smith movies is what you're saying.
No. Deadshot movies.
Okay.
Portrayed as Will Smith.
Because that was one of the positive things I heard is it's Will Smith as a Will Smith character again, and that was awesome.
Yeah, for the most part. I think there's like a meaner streak to him than he's had in a while. So that was good because he's a villain. That's what he's supposed to be. You can tell he's really good at killing people, and he does that, and he likes it.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. And Amanda Waller was scary. That was good. Too bad it was this movie, but she was scary.
So where the hell does DC go? Like, I guess Justice League is their hope, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're going to need some tent pole for like this.
They need Wonder Woman to score big.
Wonder Woman. That's their hope is Wonder Woman.
Yep. Next May or March or something like that.
It's coming out next year. Yeah.
The trailer was good.
Yeah.
Do you really trust them to handle Wonder Woman in an even reasonably, like, even close to reasonable way?
Rhea, I don't trust them to handle a dog on a leash at this point.
Fair.
But that's who owns the IP.
Yeah, but here's the other problem. Like, Wonder Woman, I don't know, maybe this is saddling them with too much, but Wonder Woman is also one of these properties that has repeatedly failed to become a movie and has had all kinds of problems. And, yeah, those shouldn't affect this one, except unless the psychology of making the Wonder Woman.
They fired Joss Whedon from Wonder Woman than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to reinforce the points you're making.
Plus, I, and look, I applaud them for putting out a superhero movie with a female lead, but that is in itself risky. I think they should be doing it. That's great. I just don't trust them to do it well. And so they're going to be all paranoid. Oh, how do we make sure that the female lead, female-led action movie, or rather a cartoon movie or comic book movie, can still, you know, make a lot of money? They're going to fuck it up, right? They're going to get nervous. They're going to fuck it up.
The answer was Chris Pine.
They're going to choke.
Yeah, that was the answer. Still some Captain Kirk in there.
Yeah, they're going to choke it away.
I, to be fair, what I've seen of it so far does encourage me. But I will not go see it weekend one. I'm going to wait to see how the initial reviews are.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, it goes without saying I'm not going to see it in the theater, but it's because I don't go to theaters anymore, apparently.
Well, if you guys don't mind, let's dig into that a little bit. None of us go to the movies anymore for the most part.
Last time I went to the movies was with you, Cyrus.
Wow.
I would every chance I got, but it's
but y'all fuckers moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have already seen Sausage Party if any of you people were remote.
Oh, God.
I've heard that's excellent.
Yeah. There's a 10-minute orgy.
I've heard that's excellent.
There's a hot dog fucking threw a donut into the into the hot dog bun. So it's like a threesome kind of thing.
I just
I have no words.
It must be it's for somebody else. That's it's not for me. They didn't make this movie.
I suspect it's very much for us, actually.
God damn it. Don't reveal that to the internet. How dare you, sir?
I would give a crisp $20 bill for the video of the family that went in there thinking they were watching a DreamWorks flick, and you get to watch their reaction as they just...
Well, wait, isn't it like R? Yeah. Isn't it R-rated?
Oh, it's hard R.
Yeah.
So
you're not getting a family to walk in there without the ticket taker saying something about your five-year-old.
I just know there's signs up at theaters warning people about it, and so I have...
That's awesome. But
Keyshawn's right, though. There's someone so fucking stupid enough that they would do it anyway.
Yeah, I read an interview with Seth Rogen where he said basically, you know, they put a ton of stuff in there, thinking, okay, well, we'll go high, and then as it gets cut out by the MPAA or whoever that does the ratings, then they'll get what they wanted. And basically, the only thing that came back, he thought all of it was going to get cut, or at least a majority of it. Said no. The only single comment was that for one of the characters, there was too much hair on his balls.
Wow.
That was the only comment.
I think that's a common critique of most American films, though.
Yeah.
They really should have seen that coming.
Certainly Steven Seagal movies. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You think he had little ponytails down there?
What's that?
You think he had little ponytails on down there?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, a little goatee. Have you seen his new trailer, End of a Gun?
No, I'm not gonna.
Oh.
Well, how do you see these things? How are you still seeing Steven Seagal trailers?
I get online and I Google Steven Seagal trailer. And
you're like on the 90s internet, man. Get off that shit.
No, man. There's a new one coming out. 2016, baby.
Really? Did AOL tell you that? What's going on here?
No, I'm telling
you. It's 2016, dude.
I have a warning on my computer whenever a Steven Seagal film comes out. I get a little notification.
So you get that, but not when we're recording podcasts.
Let me ask you something. Does the same service that gives you these Steven Seagal warnings, do they tell you about the newest Chuck Norris jokes too? Do those like get delivered to you, or
there aren't any new Chuck Norris jokes? That's the problem. Oh, shit. I would get a warning if but only there were new Chuck Norris jokes being created.
Fair enough.
But none of them are happening.
So
wait a minute. Hang on. Before we move off the subject.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Seagal, at the end of the trailer, gets a comment about his balls, and he says that he appreciates the comment, and that's the end of the trailer. And I ain't making that up. You Google it, America. It's true.
Or maybe don't.
You're not bound to take that suggestion.
Yeah.
The click wrap license at the beginning of this podcast does not force you to watch Steven Seagal trailers.
How do you guys think, you know, is it a failure of WB or a failure of America that Russia is coming out with superhero movies that are more impressive than what WB can come out with? Have you guys seen the Guardians trailer?
No.
I've seen stills from the Guardians trailer.
Oh.
There's a man bear.
There's a man bear.
Sweet. I'm down.
It's a man bear with a giant machine, like cable level machine gun.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm sold. All right.
Done.
The Russians nailed it.
That's worth $12.
Yeah, it really is. I would pay $12 just see this. I wouldn't even read the subtitles. I would just be watching this shit all the way.
Didn't Timur Bembek, what's his name? Timur, the guy that directed Wanted, he's doing it, right?
I have no idea who's doing it.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
I came out of it going Bear with Gun. That was basically all I was like, want to watch Bear with Gun.
You reverted to a feral state during this 2.5 minutes.
I did. It was a fugue state.
And again,
the bear holding a happy fun gun, and it, he ripped it right off the front of an A-10 tank killer, and I'm just like, yeah, this is the movie for me. The Russian judges didn't need to bribe a soul. This thing is just nailed all the way.
Well, it's definitely movies. Not Timur Bekmambetov who directed the Wanted. It's not him. He directed the remake of Ben-Hur that just came out.
Oh, God.
Is that a ridiculous flop? I mean, it kind of has to be, right?
If there's a God.
Actually, I wonder about that. But anyway, yeah, given the content. Related to this, I have to admit this is slightly embarrassing, but I'm going to push right on through. I watched Expendables 3.
Oh, God.
A couple weeks ago.
What's wrong with that?
Thank you. Thank you, Keyshawn. It was hilarious. It was not good.
Yeah.
It was not coherent.
It was
funny as shit. I think it was 2014 or something. But yeah, it was funny as shit, dude. It was – okay. First of all, Antonio Banderas is in it and is extremely charismatic. Like, he has – dog shit dialogue and he makes it work. He is hilarious in it. The whole thing, it's like improbable. It doesn't matter. Like, it's hard to believe. All of it's just ridiculous. It's all fun and it's just like shit blowing up and it's kind of funny. So I enjoyed it. I might not have been fully sober at the time. I definitely was not fully sober at the time, but it was an enjoyable movie. It's on maybe Amazon Prime or something. Like, you know, if you just want to turn your mind off and laugh at some people getting shot or not shot or whatever, it's fun enough.
Yes. If I wasn't doing this right now, I'd probably be doing that.
Nice. But okay. So finally, this is a piece of content, hashtag content that I thought we could talk about. How many of you have seen Interstellar? I know it's 2014.
Movies with Mikey time.
I got my hand up.
Yeah, Movies with Mikey inspired me to watch Interstellar. Like, I didn't see his Movies with Mikey thing. I didn't watch it because I was like, well, I haven't seen the movie yet. So then finally I went and saw the movie so I could watch his thingy. So thank you, Mikey Newman. Say again?
Which Mikey and what thingy? What
movie? Mikey Newman, who works at Gearbox? Software.
Yeah,
okay. He has a on the Chainsaw Suit YouTube channel. He has a series of series of videos called Movies with Mikey, where he goes back and sort of takes apart movies that are pretty. So you would enjoy his Force Awakens video.
I'm subscribed to it. I've never seen it in my life.
You should definitely watch them. This goes for everyone. They're really, really well put together, and they're nicely done.
I second that. Yeah.
The Fury Road one is good, very good. The Force Awakens one, very good, and the Interstellar one I really liked a lot, because I liked the movie a lot. So wait, have you all seen it?
Oh yeah, I saw it.
Movies with Mike or the films?
Multiple times.
The film Interstellar.
Absolutely.
So have we ever talked about it on this show?
2 years ago when it came out.
God damn it. All right.
But I will say, seeing that movie in IMAX was a hell of an experience. That was just amazing.
Yeah.
Christopher
Nolan better than Zack Snyder.
Yeah, so Christopher Nolan really does do, like, good movies pretty consistently, doesn't he?
Yeah. What's his latest?
Dunkirk is coming out later this year, early next year.
Yeah, he's got one coming right around the corner.
What's that?
I'll watch that.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, World War II, one assumes.
Yeah. Just watch it and like it.
2017. Yeah, it's about the Battle of Dunkirk.
He found out I would point you towards the trailer, but I don't think that would help.
That's right. Does it have a bear with a machine gun?
No.
Does it have
not that I know of.
Does it have a were-skeeto Nazi hunter as part of it?
A were-skeeto?
Have you not seen the trailer for were-skeeto Nazi hunter?
No.
Okay, never mind.
Is there a colon in there somewhere, please?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Now, where, exactly?
Where do you want it?
Wow, they're actually shooting it on. They're actually shooting it on film. They're shooting Dunkirk on 65mm film. That's fucking crazy.
Awesome. That's some auteur shit right there.
Yeah, for IMAX right there. They're doing.
Yeah, that. He loves IMAX.
So cool. Yeah. So Hans Zimmer is writing the score. So this is gonna be a good.
It's gonna be good.
So it's like Batkirk.
What?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, look, maybe Christopher Nolan is just going to do like a series of World War II movies.
With Batman. That'd be awesome.
It's not clear to me.
Everyone's
that's
living in the past tonight. I don't know why.
I don't know.
We're at now, gentlemen.
Wait, this is the future.
Rewind.
The movie is the future.
To Riyadh's point from a moment ago, my favorite movies with Mikey is actually the one where he makes the argument that The Fifth Element is actually one of the best Die Hard sequels available.
Yeah. That was a good one too, yeah.
That's great.
That one's very good.
It's well argued.
Yeah.
Better, in fact, than the actual Die Hard sequels is his thesis.
Oh, his Last Action Hero one is very good. The Long Kiss Goodnight one is very good. Yeah,
they're pretty much all pretty good.
They're all pretty high quality.
Even the Harry Potter one, The Prisoner of Azkaban, had a really good analysis of how it broke ground for what the technique that the Marvel Cinematic Universe uses today. So, like, there's even good stuff in there.
The color blue?
Interesting.
There's a whole thing about hiring directors and all kinds of stuff. It's interesting. It's worth taking a look.
Every time I see the credits for that film, which I actually don't like, I can't believe it's the same guy who made Gravity.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Which film do you not like?
The Prisoner of Azkaban.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's super rushed.
Oh.
And shot poorly. And very – you know, I could go on – I could movies with Mikey this one myself. We should probably not go down that rabbit hole.
Anybody
I was checking the calendar. And it occurs to me there hasn't been a podcast from this crew since the Olympics have come and went.
Oh, Jesus.
Where to begin? Where to begin?
Well, we could begin with the sewage and
and point to the fire starting above, like near it.
Is that Ryan Lochte's new nickname?
Oh,
nice. Nice.
Oh, I'm so glad we're done with that guy being a thing.
I don't know, man. Maybe there's going to be some whole, like, free Ryan Lochte thing if he goes back to Brazil and then ends up, like, spending time in jail. And it could be a whole thing.
Oh, God.
I mean, in a meme battle between Ryan Lochte and Harambe, who wins?
Oh,
Harambe.
Harambe.
Yeah,
right?
I hope Harambe.
Give Harambe a chain gun, and then you know it's over.
There's a Harambe in my fantasy football league.
Nice.
There are no Ryan Lochtes.
Did anybody see that high school football game where some high schooler came out as Harambe and was grabbing some little kids and driving them around the field?
No.
Get on the Google, my friend.
Was this also in the Russian trailer?
Sometimes I love this world.
Yeah, Harambe has to fight the machine gun bear.
Oh, God, they ought to make a Harambe movie.
No, they need a Harambe cinematic universe. What are you talking about, bro?
Hey, have you heard about on YouTube, there's this thing. There's some kind of psychological reaction when people address you very intimately. It's got a whole – there's like 100,000 people that follow this stuff.
The ASMR.
Are you talking about ASMR?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
The latest the latest popular ASMR video.
Is it with Harambe?
Oh, it's better than that.
Oh, Jesus.
They call themselves ASM artists, okay? And these ASM artists come up with different ways of engaging ASMR in people, and people watch it millions of times. And this woman, pretty lady, she decided she was going to dress as a vet and talk to the camera directly, because that's part of it, right? You want to really engage the person intimately. Not sexual, just directly and closely. And she's basically talking to Harambe.
Oh, so God.
You, the watchers, are watching this as Harambe. And she's talking to the gorilla about how they're going to get him in a nice environment.
Do they shoot him in the end? Yeah, goddamn.
No. It starts at the where the monkey's been shot. And she's
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Saving the monkey.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow. Point of order, it's a gorilla.
No. I'm sorry. They're all monkeys. When I'm playing the monkey on
pejorative.
On Overwatch.
They're primate Americans.
They all cry, damn you monkey.
Let's see. All right. Well, yeah, ASMR is a strange pocket universe inside the internet.
You're just like grocery haul videos and such things.
Scary. Yeah. Scary.
I really wish I had like an encapsulating thought to move on, but I got nothing.
Would Harambe make a good JLA character? The Justice League, in the next Justice League movie.
I mean, look. The one thing that we could say for putting Harambe in the next Justice League movie is DC cannot do anything worse to him than what's already been done. So from that point of view, it's totally safe.
Are you sure? Are you absolutely sure? If anybody could find a way...
Zack Snyder is a pretty rich human being.
Yeah, I he could come up with some shit. So, the Olympics.
Yeah. How about those
first
Olympics?
Time ever in South America, which I did not realize.
First time you what?
In South America.
Oh. Okay.
Last time in South America. Counterpoint.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, no, they were kind of a disaster, right? Like.
Nah, it wasn't as bad as Russia when the Winter Olympics, right?
People were trying to break out of their own bathroom. Yeah.
I guess.
Okay. Well, didn't like the rings like set on fire?
I don't remember.
Or they failed to set on fire. It was one of the two.
They were locked out of the building on the first day. Did you guys see that?
In Rio or in Russia?
In Rio, the big center where they had the opening ceremony.
They had to like break down the door or something, right?
They had to get bolt cutters and break into the place because they lost the keys. There's a picture.
Insert some joke here about how, yeah, but that's what happens in Brazil anyway. So,
yeah. let me throw a question out to the group. Are we all agreed that these things need to be streaming live in the 21st fucking century?
Oh, fuck NBC.
Yes.
Okay. Well, now we know why they're not, aka money. So how do we monetize this so they don't fuck this up come Tokyo?
You take it away from
them. Oh, dude, it's already fucked. It's completely fucked. Give up hope.
Look, NBC's already come out with.
Thank you, Bill Paxton.
No, dude, the Olympics are not like. They're about making money for, like, number one, the committee, and number two, like, the television networks that air it. So, like, those are the people who are making these decisions. And
but they're making
They're going to fuck us.
So, right, which is why I was – certainly there's some way that you can figure out a way to put money under streaming. I mean, Netflix seems to be doing fine.
Yeah, well, it's a different model. They don't really do anything live. I mean, this is one of those weird things where there's a psychological response, right? It's like it's less satisfying to watch something when you know it's already happened and you could just go on the internet and find out what happened.
But they're purposely doing it that way. They're not marketing towards you at all.
Yeah, no, I know. What they're doing is they're delaying it so that they can put it on prime time on whatever channel, right?
Right, and nest it within 7,000 commercials.
Right, but what do you propose that they'll do instead? That they'll make it available for what, like they're going to have a subscription thingy where I can pay to watch it live instead of waiting?
No, they're not going to do any of that because they don't care about that. They're going to continue to do it the way they're doing it. They're going to say they're marketing it to women. It's not for regular sports viewers. Now, they're wrong, but that's what they're doing, and they're going to continue doing that shit. Until it loses enough money that they don't want to pay into it anymore.
Wait,
and somebody else will take it, and those people will do it right.
Is Japan the next one? That's the next Summer Olympics, right?
Yes.
But the next winter is where?
The U.S.
Don't they haven't they gone two years? Oh, okay.
That's correct. I just don't know who has the Winter Olympics because it's just so hard to care.
No, it's in South Korea.
Yeah. The Winter Olympics 2018?
Pyeongchang, South Korea.
You made that up.
No, it's true. That's correct.
February
judges? Tick, tick.
Knowledge.
All right. So yeah, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with the Winter Olympics. There's like two events
knowledge
that matter.
Hashtag knowledge.
I'm sorry, Riyad. What were you saying?
I was going to say there are two events in the Winter Olympics that like anyone cares about, right?
Curling and
Apollo. Of course, I'm sorry, just the one. No, but
yeah, like, I've only got the one. What's the other one?
No, American audiences watch. I would bet that figure skating is the most watched of the Winter Olympic sports.
That makes a lot of sense. He's big.
Damn it, Apollo Anton Ono, that speed skating.
Yes,
it's awesome.
Because he's American. Yes, we watch things what Americans are good at. That's true.
No, I would watch that regardless because there's the imminent threat of death. They're skating on machetes, for fuck's sake. I don't care.
Which is pretty badass. I'm going to give it to you.
Machete skating would be interesting. That should be an event.
They are on machetes. It's not. It's just a name, but those things are fucking sharp-ass. You see the wrecks and people get sliced all the time. It's awesome. That's like one of the keys for what you would define as a good sport.
I've never seen a bloodletting within speed skating, though.
Really?
Me neither.
I've seen crashes.
Oh, man. Get on the Google. It's there.
There's a whole subreddit for people who want to watch people die in speed skating accidents,
No.
But what about a Harambe speed skating ASMR video? That's what I want to see.
You're gonna fold all the dimensions of the internet into one single.
Oh my god. Well, okay. So who do you guys think was the most dominant performer?
Michael Phelps.
Simone Biles.
Yeah, either one of those.
No, the swimmer was pretty damn impressive. Not Michael Phelps, the
Ledecky.
Other one.
But... Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Ledecky was clearly more dominant than Phelps. Like, she got more medals, right? She was...
She would have leads where you couldn't get her in with the rest of the field on the camera frame.
I mean, the 800 was unbelievable, right?
And yet it was all Phelps. It was all Biles. It was all Bolt.
The words behind Ledecky beat the people that were behind Ledecky.
Yeah, they actually had the thing on the internet to say.
Yeah, of course.
It was awesome.
Where she finished and they started playing "Smooth" by Santana and Rob Thomas from the band Matchbox 20, and they got to "Man, It's a Hot One" before the next person finished.
God, that song.
What a strange unit of measurement they created.
Man, yes, it wasn't Harambe's that they were measuring, okay?
It was 0.2 Santana's, all right.
Some diversity in our measurement system.
2.2 Harambe's, that's awesome.
Per kilogram.
See, before they shot Harambe, Harambe said, "If you kill me, I will become more powerful than you can ever imagine." And he was right.
You think she was going faster than Harambe dragging that kid? I think so. She was pretty fast. I think she beat Harambe speed.
Is Harambe our unsponsor for
Hashtag for Harambe speed.
This is going to be the Harambe Memorial Podcast. I'm calling it now.
It's a thing. We better do it.
Yep.
Get on the Harambe.
Harambe podcast. And Sir Pounce.
Oh, Jesus. Did we talk about the final episode of – I don't think I've been on this podcast since that season ended.
Of what?
You haven't. And we had one episode that was like largely Thrones, season 6, yeah.
I was on that, I think.
You were not. So by all means, you guys jump in.
I probably y'all have already covered everything, but god damn, those final two episodes were good.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the second last one would be the best episode of the season by far, cuz often that's been the case, and that one was so hard to beat. Seemingly, and then the next episode was like considerably better, if anything.
Yeah,
you're right. I would still lean towards 9, but 10 was very good.
Oh my god, 10 was just like 9 was really impressively shot, and the way that I felt while watching 9 was like physically uncomfortable. Was really like, I don't know. I was very impressed that they were able to put together that battle sequence in such a way.
Well, Daenerys broke the siege of Meereen as well.
True.
Episode.
The part of 9 that was, I mean, that battle was unbelievable, right?
Of course, sure. No arguments.
And like that made me think of, I've probably everyone and their mother said this, but that made me think of Braveheart, right? The way that the battle was put together, like it had that, like you got a lot of the same visceral sort of.
It was actually more gruesome, I would even argue.
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But had a lot of the time when you see a action like that, they go all shaky cam and they cut before you get anything, and so everything's kind of left to your imagination, and it feels a little bit sterile. Here they did not pull punches, mm-hmm. right? Like you watched people get fucked up.
That whole thing with the when the horses come rushing toward him and they had the camera behind Jon Snow, that was crazy shot.
Yeah.
I think the thing I found the most impressive / uncomfortable to watch was the sequence where they're trying so hard to escape that they're crushing one another.
Oh yes,
yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah,
that was super visceral. That was a Saving Private Ryan level of cinematography there.
Yeah, that was impressive. But then 10 was just 10 was just brutal in like in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, and the impact was significant because not even book readers were expecting it, right? Similar to what at end of last season, the way that
those of us reading the novels haven't had an actual plot advancement in many, many years.
Oh yeah, for sure, right?
That was a strange tingle in our bottoms that we hadn't had in a while.
But I would say that if you want to compare that event to something that was similarly earth-shaking at the time that it happened in the series, like you're talking Red Wedding kind of thing. I'm sorry, no pun intended. But like you're talking Red Wedding, and like most of the people watching the show, I don't know about most, many of the people watching the show already knew what was going to happen. They knew what to expect, right? That was a turning point for many characters, and it didn't have the same impact that this one did, because this one was a complete surprise, right? I don't know about that. Like they were telegraphing that this was what was going to happen more or less, but the details of it, and especially what happens with the kid, the king, took me by surprise. So I don't know. We all knew he had to die somehow, right? That was the prophecy. Yeah. She was going to cause him to
That's
die.
Correct.
Fine. But I mean, the way that it happened was pretty brutal.
Agreed on all points.
Step, So I don't know. I really like that. Both of them were just really, yeah. really, really good.
Okay, Keyshawn, you've been quiet over there. So make the counter argument that Stranger Things is better.
Stranger Things is better than everything.
I'm sorry?
Stranger Things is better than everything I've seen.
I knew you'd have this.
Damn.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, that's amazing, like, movie-level television. Stranger Things is just a completely different cut. It's just the problem is that it's so directly aimed for me that you know, it's probably not as good to everybody else. I'll give that right off the bat. It just hits right in my bailiwick of that 80s era stuff that I just – the only way I can get it is watching an 80s movie or reading Ready Player One. And so to get that out of the blue, like didn't know about it, anything, just heard something about it and all the other television shows were dead, so – cranked it up. My wife and I watched 2 episodes and we were addicted right off the bat. It's just a crime against God that there was only 7 or 8 episodes. I think 7.
8.
Were there 8?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Still a crime.
Sometimes it's nice to have a series that has a finite span because then it wraps up in a nice way. You don't get into a sort of lost situation where there's a ton of potential and then they just want to keep riding the thing into the sunset and it kind of fucks the story.
No, well, they've got a second season planned, but they haven't signed on for a second season yet.
Is that still true at the time of this recording?
Yes.
Wow.
As far as I know. Now, Netflix came out – the creators came out and said that they've got ideas for a second season. Netflix, the owner of Netflix or CEO – came out and said that they would be dumb not to get that show for a second season. So I think it's all just, at this point, a matter of paper.
Contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus, that show was good.
It really was. I enjoyed the hell
out of it.
Has
everybody seen it on here?
Say that again?
Has everybody that's on this podcast seen it?
I have not.
I have.
Yeah, I mean, look, I
oh, don't, yeah, worry, yeah. Well, I,
don't worry
we
about
we covered
me.
This last episode.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that show.
I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I was in the same place you were, Keyshawn. Like, we were in the middle. We were in the show hole, as Malcolm What's-His-Name calls it.
Yes.
And I heard good things about it, so we watched it. And then we watched, like, the second half of the series in one day.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
Nice.
We cranked through that thing real fast.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so spot on. And good God, Winona Ryder. She was amazing. Because I've seen her, and she's beautiful. And she really took it to the limit as far as looking like a frazzled mom. Trust me, I know frazzled moms. I really know frazzled moms well. And she had it nailed. Sitting there holding those lights, holy shit, that was awesome. And I really didn't anticipate the teenage girl becoming a badass.
Oh yeah, that part was great. Yeah.
and when the boyfriend, the you know the
Steve
boy, yeah, Steve, what a great name, by the way.
Harambe would have been better, but I mean,
no
thank you for going there.
Steve
is
a perfect 80s pricky boyfriend. I mean, you just those guys, that's the kind of brushstrokes that make the show just beyond good and in the genius level when you got a Steve like that. You know, there could be no other name than maybe Todd. Give him that. If it was Todd, I would have bought
No,
him.
Johnny.
Johnny's well, yeah, Johnny's
that's a good 80s too. Prick name.
That is, but Johnny was the Johnnies were always a little bit worse. Steve was more just fuck Steve. And then the fact that they turned it and made it where like he wasn't all that bad at the end, I was like, son of a bitch, this is really good.
Yeah.
Play it on it. They made a Steve that was almost intolerable, but they made him almost tolerable.
Stranger Things did a really nice job of playing to tropes and then flipping tropes as the story called for it.
Yes. Is it a trope to flip a trope?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, because then you just can't win.
Well, I think they annihilate each other in the national universe when they meet.
How do you pronounce throat backwards?
Harambe?
Eport? Damn, that was
Eport.
Good.
Wow. This has really devolved fast.
I don't know that it evolved. We started with the darkness.
I thought I would help you by starting us low. Oh. I didn't realize we would go lower with, you know.
We brought our shovels.
NBC, the Olympics.
Harambe. Don't forget Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal,
Harry Nutt.
Another 80s asshole.
Yeah.
True.
Steve.
He's a Steve at the end.
Steve. Fuck Steve. Oh, hey, guys. Since I've been away for a while from the podcast, I have another Jesus Christ, my goddamn father hates shows, and he can always find a way to hate a show.
We got to find a smaller name for that segment, but go ahead.
We've got Keyshawn's old man moments, and I've got some of those in my hip pocket. I've got to come up with a name for this. You know, fuck you, Dad. That seems to be
shit. My dad hates.
Shit my dad hates. Good shit. My dad hates.
There you go. There, bam.
Yes,
nailed it.
This one goes to the miniseries from I believe it was HBO called 11/22/63. Now, as many of our longtime listeners would know,
I think it's Hulu actually.
I had sworn off trying to recommend anything to my father. And that puts a big hamper on bringing you news from the good shit my dad hates territory. But this one broke me. This one got me. I thought this one's it. Because one thing that my father loves is an accurate portrayal of his youth. And when you get a good show that shows, you know, really gets the things right about just the look and the feel and everything else. By the way, have any of you seen 11/22/63?
I have not.
Neither have I.
Okay. So do you know even what it is?
Or am I just
talking about a void? Okay.
It's based on a Stephen King novel about James Franco traveling back in time to stop the Kennedy assassination.
Yes. And the guy.
Which sounds like I made that up. No, but it's 100% true.
That's it. And he goes back to Dallas in the late 50s and early 60s. And, you know, I watched it through with my wife. We enjoyed it. It had a good plot. And like you said, Ariel, a good ending. Riyadh said that.
That was Riyadh, yeah.
So you get credit. they really nail the feel for the 50s. In 60s, all the little details, or so I thought, because my father watched it and he called me and said, Keyshawn, you were right. This show is amazing. I mean, your mother and I just watched the first episode. It is great. They got all the little things, the cars, the hair, blah, 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 everything else. A couple days go by, nothing. And then I get a call. And I asked, and we were talking about something else, and I asked him, I said, so have you gotten farther along 11/22/63? No, we quit. We got to the third episode, and it was just, there was stuff that was so absurd that we couldn't watch anymore. I couldn't stand it. It was a good story, but it was just so absurd. And I was like, well, wait a minute. What is it that flipped the switch?
That's where you went wrong.
You were really watching this. What happened? And he was like, they had a black secretary in the school. And she's not even a main character. It's just in the background. They had a black secretary. He goes, that never would have happened in the late 50s, early 60s in Texas. It's impossible. And they had trash bags that were plastic in the trash can. That did it for him. That was it. He couldn't stand anything. Had no, just great plot, didn't care. That was the worst.
But Uhura and Hefty is what broke it for him.
Yes, it was like that's impossible. That never would have happened. I can't bear to watch anymore. That was it. And I'm just like, seriously, that it's the Hefty trash bag. That's what did it for you. And he goes, well, that man had a black secretary. And I'm like, so that never happened. It had to happen somewhere at some point. But it was the Black Secretary first, but then the deal killer was the plastic trash bag in the background that he couldn't handle anymore. And I'm not saying it's as stupid as hating the Lord of the Rings because nobody took shit, but it's pretty stupid. So I thought, well, that's worth bringing in for another round of good shit my dad hates.
So in summation, the depiction of the South wasn't racist enough. And
I was
going to
say the same thing.
That's just it. They were the people there were being racist to the secretary. And yeah, the South was not racist enough in my dad's eyes because back then they were hella racist. They wouldn't even allow anything like that to happen. It was just Hollywood trying to do it up and create something that wasn't there. And then that had him.
Hold on. Am I wrong in thinking that there are kind of supernatural-ish elements to this to the story arc? So like, how is it that
all in on the time travel?
Yeah. So
it wasn't racist enough.
Look, you gotta give him the many worlds thing where it's like, look, this was a parallel Texas that was slightly less racist, but only slightly, and also they had plastic bags.
Look, I want you to picture in your mind's eye, America and my cohorts here. I want you to picture this show up on a large, beautiful TV, playing in high definite 4K. No, wait a minute, not on Hulu. So 1080p, beautiful picture. You're watching this thing. And I want you to picture a settled back in his recliner, Wilford Brimley. Okay? I want you to sit there and picture him. And then he sees this black secretary and begins to get visibly upset. He's watching this show, and you could just huffing. You know, that huffing just, you know, looks like, I'm going to say it, a tea partier. Yeah, that's, it looks like a tea partier. Just a, yeah. But then, that's not what did it. That's not the killer. The killer was the hefty bag. That's what, just, that was it. Stopped it mid-show. That's enough. Just literally just saying, our son's a fool. He doesn't know what he's talking about. This show is terrible. That was it.
Well, look, I mean, you can't please everyone all the time.
Wait, they were mad at you?
I'm sure that the filmmakers.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Every time.
Oh, that part's not fair.
Well, they're old people. They get mad if they're.
Wow.
That's true.
Remember the second place game at pitch a game in Pac South was about an old man adjusting the temperature in his house. That shit is accurate.
No, I know.
You know, it's accurate as hell. So if a son recommends something, and then and sure enough, you know, it turns out to be crap. You know, oh, yeah, it's all hell. You get a phone call like, you know, 8:30 at night, and they're angry that I wasted their time. Now, secretly,
well, out of their busy schedule. Come on now.
My mom's like, she likes it. She's going to watch it through to the finish. But my father, that was it. He could bear no more. So anyway, that is
okay. Let me flip this script real quick before we close this one out. So what would he recommend to you? As like, you got to watch this.
Oh,
like what's in his wheelhouse?
Oh Jesus, Bonanza.
There's no guy that's like living in the 1800s.
Yeah, right. It's like 21st century
bullshit. That wasn't accurate. It's not accurate.
Exactly. Right.
Has your dad watched Deadwood? I think your mother, like the language is strong, so you shouldn't recommend it for your mother. But like your dad might enjoy Deadwood. It's funny as shit.
It's kind of the choice among older white guys. It's true.
It's an amazing show. Have you not seen it, Key?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God. How many times have I recommended that show on this podcast? I cannot recommend it strongly enough. I redouble all of those recommendations. It is amazing. You like wait. You saw John Wick, right?
Yes.
Okay, and you remember the guy who runs the hotel? He's played by Ian McShane.
Uh-huh.
Ian McShane was all anyway, Ian McShane's character in Deadwood is one of the best characters in any television show ever made. He is an unbelievably good character, and McShane plays him perfectly. It's amazing.
I have also not seen the series, but that's a popularly held opinion, I have to say.
Oh my god, McShane is unbelievable in this show, and the rest of the cast is almost as good, and that's not meant as an insult. It's just like McShane is that good, but the whole cast is really well done. The story is very interesting. Like they were kind of building to a third season, and then it got canceled because it wasn't doing well. But then it's one of these ones like The Wire that got more popular after it was gone. And it's totally worth watching. It's an unbelievable show.
I've got two shows in my holster right now. Obviously, everything's about to start kicking back on here in mid-September and October. But the one in my holster right now is Breaking Bad. Between that and Deadwood, I've never seen either one. Which one?
Deadwood, you'll finish Deadwood faster. It's only two seasons. Breaking Bad is a lot more of an investment.
Is Deadwood still ongoing?
No. There's two seasons. That's it.
Breaking Bad is longer, but does have a good – I'm sorry, has a discernible beginning, middle, and end.
Okay.
You've got 1 month to watch it, so go. I would recommend Deadwood. But, again, as Riyadh said, it was canceled early.
All right, great question here. What goes through your head when you say, I have one more month? What's coming back on that sets that bar at 1 month?
Football. Sorry, just happened.
No, that's 10 days from now.
Yeah, hell yeah!
It's on my clock.
The Flash for me, I think.
Okay, that's actually what went through my head, too. I was curious what Cyrus had in his.
Well, I have the whole CW slate, at least, that I'm thinking about.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to cherry pick, but...
I was about to say, does Arrow count in that?
I'm glad you asked, because I want to answer that question with a question for the group. Do I everything I've heard about Arrow season 5 sounds very back to basics. Do I give it another chance?
Yes.
I vote yes.
Stephen Amell came out and posted something that made me think, oh hell, he feels bad for it too. Okay, good. Maybe there's a shot. The writers are obviously horrible people. But maybe they're actually going
to... Well, they're not old people. They messed up.
No, they're actually on Twitter, haranguing folks about not liking the last season.
Oh, well, that's just incorrect.
Exactly. You know, it's one thing to fuck up and then you'd be silent and go, okay, I need to go back and fix this or something. It's another thing to be coming out on Twitter and poking at it and saying,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
You can't pee on the floor and be all like, what are you mad about?
Yeah, and picking on other shows that are better. So yeah, they've been called out for doing that shit on Twitter this summer, and because you can imagine the fan base of Arrow are all over them, and then that shit's not helping. So the only thing that makes me want to give it one more shot is Amell coming out and saying that he's trying to get it back to what it was.
Well, he needs to get back in the gym.
But, you know, we all ought to save this.
That's the only thing he can do about it.
And play this back at the end of the season when we're all hating ourselves for giving it one more shot.
Oh, God.
Hopefully it won't come to that.
I hope you're right, but I think you're wrong.
Everything I've heard really gives me a lot of hope. Which is why I felt like I needed to have a conversation with you guys about this. Because I really have not... I really did not enjoy the last season, and parts of 3 were pretty uneven too, I felt. So,
well, we'll find out soon. I mean,
it's
a month
true.
Away.
Yeah.
Give or take.
But conversely, I'm super pumped for The Flash.
Oh, yeah, for Flashpoint?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually hopeful that they could, rewatch. If it really got bad enough, they could just, use Flashpoint to wipe out everything and do whatever they want to fix it. Arrow, I mean.
Yeah, but I guess to answer your question fully, Keyshawn, for me, it is the return of the NFL followed by the NBA shortly thereafter, and then, you know, I mean, that's basically it. Network TV is just not a thing I watch much anymore.
Yeah.
I know most people are looking forward anxiously to The Walking Dead, but I'm still haven't succumbed to that, so.
Right.
I've got no skin in that game.
Have I told you that I've started Keyshawn Flicks?
No, what?
This is where I use free software on my computer to set up a server so my aunt and uncle and my parents can log in via their Roku devices onto my computer and watch TV shows and movies.
Okay.
Like, and through Plex or something?
Kind of like that, yeah. I'm using Envy.
Okay.
But I've set that up, and it's great because it's like, you know, never do anything.
It's great. Now the entire side of my family hates me.
That's right. You know, the power went out, and I got inundated with old people angry at me because and calling for tech support.
My shows.
I can't get it to work. Can you help me? Blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh, our power's out, so I can't.
You're like, Dad, I'm sitting in a boat. I got my own problems.
That's right. Oh. Story of my life.
Does anyone here watch Mr. Robot?
I do.
Yeah,
Yes.
I'm fun to ask about this.
I have not started the second season. I have only watched the first season.
Somebody give me a pitch, because I need to know what the hell it is.
Okay, I can give you a quick pitch. Did you like... I don't know. Did you like did you enjoy the movie Hackers? Did you also enjoy the movie Fight Club? Would you like to see a combination of those two movies as a television show? Then
if
watch
so,
Mr. Robot.
With like elements of Breaking Bad, I have to say, kind of woven in.
But I remember Hackers. It was good for the 90s. And
I have serious problems with that film, but let's put a pin in that. We'll come back to it.
Oh yeah, I mean you're right. It was like I said, it was good for the '90s, right?
Fuck you. 1990 was the best year on record.
Hackers, along with The Net, literally crippled this country for 2 decades, technologically speaking.
I think it would have if anybody watched it.
Oh, but Keyshawn, people did watch it. They were just old and white, and okay. They became immediately terrified of things technology can't actually do.
My dad loved it.
Yeah.
It's only if
that's,
you
that's
embrace
That's the
anti blessing
if I ever heard one.
There you go. The anti blessing.
Trying to think if there's a better other component movie to this instead of Hackers. There probably is, but
Sneakers.
It's hard because it's like the most. Technologically, it's the most accurate hacking I think I've ever seen in media.
Yeah.
Like war games.
They have some like subject experts on it who are contributing to. They do a really good job with it. It's really, really fucking good.
I want to follow up though. I'm hearing very conflicting opinions on season 2. Is it still good?
I've heard the same conflicting opinions. The people whose opinions I trust say that they like what the direction that they're taking it, although it is different, and that it seems like it's going to turn out to be worth it. But this is speculation. This is like second order speculation. So
I'm with those people. I think the people who are complaining are the same ones that say nothing ever happens on Mad Men. I think you have to give the creator, who's the director for every episode in season 2, you have to give him time to build out his story. There's a hell of a twist in episode 4 or 5 of the season, last week's episode.
Okay.
Not this week, this past week's, but the week before.
Okay.
So like,
still coming out.
Yeah, it's still airing. Yeah. There's still a few episodes left to go.
Yeah. The summer belonged to Stranger Things and Mr. Robot, as far as I understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean that show is really freaking good, and it continues to be like really accurate as far as the hacking goes, and goes into places on the psychology front that are really interesting.
Are
but it is a little bit slower. Has a slower. Yeah, there are good guys for sure.
Okay.
But Well, there's good and there's good. You have to kind of there's both kinds, good and good good. You have to kind of make up your own mind as to how you feel about certain characters, I think.
Okay.
It really sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons alignment question, and I'm not.
Yes. Worried. Yes. Actually, yeah. There's chaotic good and lawful good.
Okay. Good. Awesome.
And there's also lawful evil people, if you think about it, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would have to be, otherwise they didn't do it correctly.
So, speaking of D&D real quick, and circling back, were any of you just like immediately going, holy shit, D&D, smack right at the front of Stranger Things? Did that, like, oh, there's something here right off the bat?
That was how I heard about the series. It came up in my D&D group.
Ah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I mean, again, just like tying into all the stuff that people watching a show like that now would want to see, I think.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was also an E.T. reference.
True.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And it was cool to like give the name of the creature that make it a Demogorgon, uh-huh. Like, you know, like kind of tie it all together. I think yeah. That was really clever.
Oh yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And the idea of it being the Underdark.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No, I'm a total dork. I loved all that shit. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah.
Continuing with D&D, I'm hoping at least one or two of you guys watched Acquisitions Incorporated season one on the YouTube.
I watched the first couple episodes, and then I've just been swamped with other things and haven't got to watch the rest yet.
I've been swamped with Stranger Things.
Stranger Things.
That's okay. That's the correct thing, by the way.
Yeah, unfortunately, I knew that it was happening, and I have not yet gone and seen it. I've just been busy.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay, well, that's fair. I enjoyed it. I would recommend it.
Yeah, okay. Good to hear. Cool. Good to hear. Nice.
Pretty interesting twist, actually, towards the end, actually, since we were speaking about that.
Did you see these weird dice that they were talking about today on Twitter?
I did.
What, like, do you spin them like a top? What's going on with those damn dice?
Some of them. I had to watch the instructional video on Kickstarter to figure out how to use some of them.
I only saw the images. I didn't actually see any.
I thought that was pretty neat, though. The idea that they would have like a polyhedral dice based on class.
Yeah, crazy looking things.
Yeah, what? like the wizard six-sided dice is shaped like a fireball.
What is this that you speak of?
You know what? I will try and track it down real quick. One second.
Polyhero dice is the
name
of it.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan.
So there's a Kickstarter going on right now for it.
What the fuck?
It's based on class. Like the 20-sided dice for the fighter is a shield.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the problem is it's not super clear to me that these are. Yeah, I mean, they look, they look pretty
want.
Fun. They look pretty fun. I don't know.
It's a cool idea. That's
work. Fun. Is it the side that lays down is the number?
It depends on the die, but yeah.
It looks like the one that lays up, right? In the case of all the warrior ones, I'm looking at the warrior set picture right now. It looks
I believe with the 20-sided shield die, I believe it's the one that lays down.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, the one touching the – yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so this makes great radio. Right. But, yeah, the idea is that all of these are in these weird configurations, right? Like still somehow it should be – I don't know. 12-sided helmet. The helmet is the D12. I see.
Spear and magic helmet.
My God, that's awesome.
It's kind of weird.
It's
kind of
a fun idea. I don't know. Yeah.
I think we're playing fast and loose with the word awesome, but I liked them.
They have Vorpal Purple.
Yes.
So they have a warrior set and they have a wizard set so
yes.
far.
I'm looking for the wizard set. I haven't found it yet.
If you just Google for polyhero dice, you will get it as the set.
Oh, I'm looking on their site. I just don't see the wizard one.
Oh, I see. Yeah. This is kind of fun.
Well, that's the one they're kickstarting, so it may not be on there yet.
It looks like they're kickstarting both the wizard and the warrior currently. The wizard is 68 hours to go. Oh, the warrior may be done.
The warrior is done.
The warrior is done, yeah, yeah. So yeah. The wizard is, like, you have 3 days if you want to go buy some.
Yeah.
It is, like, well over 10 times past their goal, so they're going to clearly be making them.
Holy shit, they are. They're going to be making a million of them, looks like. They had a $27,000.
And then they're going to swim in them like Scrooge McDuck.
No shit.
They're going to sell them at PAX. They're going to have a booth at PAX before you know it, and they're going to sell them all out there.
I hope so. Because I want to buy them.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys know.
Oh, they're getting an average of $30 per backer. What is that like? $30 is two sets. So the average backer is asking for two sets of these dice. And, man, if they're going to be making...
One for like you 20, and one for the missus that you'll never have.
Oh.
I was going to say, if they're going to be making 25,000 sets of these dice, then $388,000 is a pretty good haul, right?
No shit.
The tooling for this is going to be expensive, but at the point where they're making 25,000 sets, that tooling is, you know, they're going to, that's going to be paid for, man.
I don't think China has that well under control.
Yeah, or wherever. Sure. I'm guessing, as you say, most of them are.
Damn, that's cool.
Yeah, it's impressive. So that's kind of a nice idea.
It's a clever idea for sure.
It's a clever idea. It's like they'll do it. Yeah, it's a good thing. Like they're coming up with ways to.
I ship it.
Clever thing. Yeah. So. From New Hampshire. So you say they're going to be at PAX? This is a known...
Oh, it was my guess, because you know Penny Arcade is already like bumping them on Twitter that
at some point,
not now, maybe not...
2017, yeah, right.
Got it. Oh, speaking of PAX, those the Seattle show is sold out, but are any of y'all planning on going? I mean, I want to assume that Cyrus plans on going, but does anyone else plan on going?
I wasn't.
You assume correct. I have badges to both PAX West, as they're calling it now, and PAX South.
Interesting. Yeah, unfortunately, there's no way I can make it to this, but...
That's unfortunate, but that's okay. I got 3 out of 4 days. I'm pretty pumped.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, and this is... I'm becoming more and more convinced that the Seattle one is the one to go to. But even though it's nice to go to PAX South...
Well, my buddies are at South.
Yeah, exactly.
I just wish it had more of a video game turnout.
Are you saying it's South?
He's only been to South. That's why he's saying that.
That's why I'm saying. I'm saying that it seems like South has turned, and I'm not complaining, but it's the tabletop one.
East is the tabletop one.
Really?
Yeah, because East is half and half.
Yeah.
Oh.
South just doesn't have anyone coming is the unfortunate thing.
Well, which leads it to only having the tabletop.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a handful of indie tech guys.
Yeah.
They still have South on the agenda for next year though, so you know, look, they're gonna.
How drunk are we gonna have to get to win pitch a game again?
Well.
Just on a from 1 to 10.
There you go. At some point on Twitter, there were people turning Harambe memes into songs, or turning songs into Harambe memes. Maybe was a better. And the Cranberries zombie.
Was
turned into Harambe. And the zombie Harambe reminded me of that. So you may be able to find somebody singing about Harambe.
Oh, that song is always funny in pop culture. I don't know why.
So that goes back to the question. How much alcohol? Because I got to say, I'm not touching red wine again. I can't do it. I've had 2 glasses of red wine since PAX South.
I got to tell you, there's people at Westin Hotels that are very relieved to hear you say that, Keyshawn.
You know, when I went there, I signed up for their gold member program. And so, like, once a week, or maybe once every other week, I get an email from them, and every time I think, this is the one. They're going to charge me for recarpeting that room.
No way, dude. You're a VIP. You're a gold member. You can puke on any fucking carpet in that hotel.
Oh, I swear to God. I'm not staying at that hotel next time anyway. I booked right by the place this time.
at the other Westin or whatever. There's Marriott's everywhere there.
Yeah, the one that's across the street.
It's one of the four Marriott's.
Yeah, the big one, whatever that one. That's right.
It's a Marriott.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
But oboe, hell yeah.
This feels like a natural stopping point, so I'm going to jump in and stop this shit before we Harambe again. I'm going to go north to south.
We can't stop. It's too dangerous. We have to slow down first.
Sorry. I had to do it. I apologize.
No, that was good. It's been a while since we've had a Spaceballs quote on this episode. I think it may be actually unprecedented in full of Sound of Fury history.
What? No way.
What?
No, we've been surrounded by assholes for 56 episodes. No way we didn't.
I don't think we've pointed it out, though. I mean, it's true. All right, I'm going to go north to south.
Hang on. You started at the beginning of this by saying we're in the now.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a relevant? Oh, you're right.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Right. It was earlier this episode.
Took my shit apart. I got served. All right. Anyway, let's close it out. I'll go north to south. I've been Cyrus Mortazavi of Kirkland, Washington. With me tonight has been Riyad Wabi of Stanford, California.
Yo.
From North Austin has been Ariel Rodriguez.
Yo.
And from somewhere to the southwest, in a boat, it sounds like, in the ATX has been Keyshawn Xavier.
Get off the shed!
This episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast are available at fullofsoundandfury.com or via subscription at iTunes and SoundCloud. This has been a Rising In production.